WBAI New York, and on the internet at WBAI.org. The program you just heard, Labrish, will be back next week at 2, following the work of the Midnight Ravers. It is 5 o'clock.
Hello, this is Radio's Uncle Sidney. When I'm out and about, folks comes up to me and says, "You should be ashamed." But when they calms down, they says how much they loves WBAI. That's WBAI New York and WBAI.org. Back in the day, we had commentaries by Malcolm X, Ayn Rand, Abby Hoffman, and William F. Buckley Jr. Imagine them folks in the same room at the same time. Nowadays, we've got Bob Fass, the founder of the Feast. Amy Goodman, you know her, we got her. Michio Kaku, the smartest guy in the world. Shows that helps you not to get evicted. Top-of-the-line news and interviews. Insane artists and musicians. Well, okay, okay, we went nuts for a while back there. But now we're okay. We're like your crackhead cousin that's making good. So we know you're pulling for us. Go, go, run right now to WBAI.org and look around. See where we've gone. You can even subscribe online. Believe me, you'll be glad you did. Stay tuned.
It should be about 5 a.m., and you're listening to all freaking fag revolutionary radio, WBAI New York.
No, I know we're not in Kansas.
Well, good goddamn morning. How the hell are you? This is WBAI New York. The program is back of the book. My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. Good morning, my dear.
Good morning to you, my dear. And a hearty good morning and happy pride to all our dear 19 listeners, wherever they may be.
Indeed. And we're going to talk about a few things here, and you can find out a little bit more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can go up there, look around at things. When you get there, you'll see a blue navigation frame on the left-hand side of the screen. It'll say latest back-of-the-book program links. Click on that, and you'll get to the webpage for tonight's radio program. And the WBAI website and the archives seem to be functioning. And this is our 49th pandemic episode of Back of the Book. It's pre-recorded. This program was pre-recorded on Friday for airing on Saturday morning. So if things have happened between then and when you're hearing this program, we won't be referencing them on this program. A recorded program is not as up-to-date as a live program. This is what we have to do, however, in these dangerous times. And the top story of the week is... On Twitter, we have rocketed all the way up to 110 followers. Oh, my, are there really that many people on Twitter? 110! And some programming notes... This is our annual lesbian, gay, bisexual, trans, plus infinity program, and we are preempted for a fundraising special next week. And it's summertime! Oh, this is so good! It's summertime! Yes, I like it. Pickles of the North is not the biggest fan of the summer season.
I like summer just fine. I do not like extreme humidity or extreme temperatures.
Well, oh, you aren't too bad when the temperature's like minus 40. So, you know, if it gets up to be like 90, that's not nearly as bad.
Ugh.
Oh, I prefer 90 to minus 40. Ugh.
How often does it get to minus 40 here?
It doesn't get that here. But certain people are from a certain place where a certain person has experienced minus 40,
only,
hasn't she?
Only with the wind chill.
Oh, only with a wind chill.
It's not the same.
No.
I can deal with minus 20 Fahrenheit actual temperature. That's okay. I mean,
Actually, minus 40 is the same on Fahrenheit and Celsius. So
yes, it is.
You can just say minus 40 and that's it. Unless, of course, you're accidentally trying to say something in Kelvins, in which case you're wrong because Kelvin starts at absolute zero. And although you can get a very tiny fraction below absolute zero if all of the electrons and other subatomic particles line up right, you can't get 40 degrees below absolute zero, not in this universe anyway. Maybe some other universe.
Well, let's put it this way. Any kind of heat dome, that's not healthy for people.
Eh, but I like the heat, and it's summertime. And Pickles and I celebrated the summer solstice last Sunday night. We had a good time with that. And the very next day, we went out. Yeah, the summer solstice occurred at 11:32 p.m. That's less than half an hour to midnight last Sunday night. And so, really, the first full day of summer followed in less than half an hour. We went out that day, and I haven't gone out a whole lot. I've been staying home a whole lot over the past 15 months. Oh, yes.
Expedition.
So, I got out for a change, and yeah, it wasn't exactly a great summertime adventure. We didn't go to Coney Island, partly because it was going to be cloudy and gloomy that day, although the day later fooled us, and it was a decent-looking day. Maybe we should have gone to Coney Island that day. I don't know, but I don't know if I was up to it either. Anyway, so what we did, we went to the dentist. I haven't been to the dentist in a year and a half because, of course, I've been locked in for all of this time. But it was so nice to be out, and out on a summer day. Last summer, I was locked in for the entire time because I was a really prime candidate for not surviving a COVID-19 infection. And so we kept me here, and Pickles only went out to get food and came back in, and that was about it. Bare necessities. And so neither one of us was out all that much for 15 months. And now getting out into, even for only, you know, an hour or so in really walking around in the nice weather, that was great stuff. A sunny summer day, the first day of summer, first full day of summer. And yeah, a lot of the time was spent in the dentist's office, and that can be unpleasant. But the ultrasonic cleaning thing. Oh, that thing hurts sometimes, and it is. But anyway, we got through it all, and I'm hoping we'll go out for more.
I tell you one thing that I've found, and I'm sure many of our dear listeners have found this to be the case too. After training yourself to act in a certain way for, was that like 15 months, 16 months of just going, doing what you need to do, avoiding contact with people, even now after we've been vaccinated fully, it is difficult to stop doing those things. It's almost like there's a certain amount of agoraphobia that has set in. And it's, I'm sure that I and you, or you and I, can't be the only two people that are feeling this. I think this is a common thing now for a lot of people.
Well, yeah, for a lot of people who took the pandemic seriously and locked down and were very careful and cautious and wore masks and didn't go out that much any more than was absolutely necessary. I think a lot of us are, you know, feeling a little odd still. And, you know, but I was glad to get out on Monday. That was a good thing.
Oh, yes. But it's almost like it's stressful to go out and start doing things that aren't just go to the store, come home, blah, blah. Or if you had to work, go to work, come home, blah, blah, you know. So I guess I imagine the big thing that will change for many people is once we reach a point that enough people have been vaccinated that the terrifying variant that is now racing its way through many countries, including the United States. What is it called?
The D variant.
Yes.
Or Delta. Delta yeah. variant.
Once that doesn't have a lot of places to go to anymore, then that will make a big, big change, I think, in everybody's attitude. But, of yeah. course, people who don't get vaccinated. I mean, I right now, yeah, I'm thinking a lot about one of my brothers and his family, because I don't think they're going to get vaccinated, and there's nothing anyone can do. That's their choice. And it's concerning, though, because, you know, none of us will be making them sick. None of the rest of the family will be making them sick. They are putting themselves in danger of getting this much easier to catch form of the virus. And, oh well, I guess we shall see. Hopefully they will not get sick. But that's a big part of the stress too, having loved ones, family and friends who are not getting vaccinated. You know, that makes things not feel normal. Anyway.
Yes. So we went out, and I guess we'll be going out in the next couple of weeks, too, because we won't be on the air for another 2 weeks, since we're preempted next week. So the next public WBAI local station board meeting is scheduled to be held on Wednesday, July 14th, 2021, at 7 p.m. on Zoom, even though Zoom compromises privacy and security. According to the Johns Hopkins website, COVID-19 cases in the whole world reached 180,180,201 on Friday, and global deaths reached 3,903,738. In America, the number of cases as of Friday was 33,599,202, and the death toll in America was 603,474. So 2,246 people have died of COVID-19 in America since our last program 1 week ago. And that death rate is slightly higher than last week's death rate. So there we are. We're still just above, well, not just above, but above, not that far above, 2,000 dead in America per week from COVID-19. It's still a huge number, but it's a lot better than it had been. It's being reported that almost all COVID-19 deaths are now among those who have not been vaccinated. What are called breakthrough infections in fully vaccinated people account for about 0.1% of the hospitalizations. So this is something that's really showing that these vaccines absolutely work. They look at who's coming into the hospital, and only 0.1% of the people have had a shot. And it's not fully known that all of those people were fully vaccinated and waited a while after it. So they may have gotten one shot 2 days earlier, and now they've got COVID-19. Well, they didn't have time to build up immunity in that case. And so, yeah, that's a factor right there. So 0.1% of the hospitalizations being the so-called breakthrough infections, that's a very good figure, and it's probably an inflated figure. If you've been vaccinated, fully vaccinated, not just one, if you need two, you need to get both of them, and then you've waited a couple of weeks for your immune system to figure out what it's doing and get ready, your odds of getting it are even lower than that. So these are very good vaccines, and we're lucky that modern science has been able to do these messenger RNA vaccines, because it's completely different from what they used to have. And it's not even a case of, is it a quote, live, unquote, vaccine or a dead vaccine. It's none of that. It's a little particles that are going to make your immune system resistant to the actual stuff. So it's extremely safe to get these vaccinations. Dr. Rochelle Walensky, who's the CDC director, said on Tuesday that the vaccine is so effective that, quote, nearly every death, especially among adults, due to COVID-19 is, at this point, entirely preventable, unquote. She said such deaths were, quote, particularly tragic, unquote. And yeah, it is. You can prevent it from happening, and you're not doing it. There's a story of one guy in some other state, not in New York State. And, oh, the family is mourning him because, oh, he was such a great guy. And he had a business, and he didn't do anything other than his business. He did his, and it didn't involve going to meet people or anything like that. He had his business, and it was online and on the telephone and remotely. And he did his stuff back and forth, and he figured he didn't need to get vaccinated. And so he didn't. And then he started coughing. And yes, he died. He died from COVID-19. And these stories keep showing up where people say, oh, I don't need to. It won't get me. And then it gets them. And other people who got COVID-19 and recovered, they say, wow, I wish I'd gotten a vaccine. And they say also, everybody should get the vaccine because it's a lot better than what some of them call 2 weeks of hell that they went through in the hospital. And some of them, of course, there are people spending 6 months in a hospital. And, oh, imagine the pain and awfulness that you go through for that. Anyway, still there are people who refuse and absolutely will not. And there are entire states that have a stupid attitude toward COVID-19. And it is not beyond imagination that those states at some point, maybe in the autumn, are going to start having surges because they will be the only places left where there are people, where there's fuel for the fire. You know, for a wildfire, what they do a lot of the time is they cut back the growth so that there's no fuel for the fire and that can stop the fire. That's essentially what you're doing with vaccinations. And so people are in some places, are a really big pool of fuel for the virus. And at some point, it's liable to happen there. You know, all you need is one person with something like the Delta variant who shows up in some town in out of the West is mostly where it's happening. And they show up in one town and bang, the whole town can end up infected in short order. So there's that. So it sort of sounds like anti-vaxxers are self-selecting themselves for winnowing out because they refuse to get vaccinated in the face of this thing. And again, this was all mostly preventable.
And there are two other groups that this kind of behavior is going to affect. People whose immune system does not function, they're immunosuppressed, I guess, who they take the vaccine, it does not work for them. They need the people around them to be vaccinated, and very young people who are too young to be vaccinated. You know, basically, I believe babies can only start being vaccinated when they're 3 months old. So there are two groups of people right there that you might want to think of.
Yeah.
As well as yourself.
And also from the Johns Hopkins website, India continues to catch up to the United States of America with 30,134,445 cases and with deaths at 393,310. So India has had 9,820 deaths this week, which is a lot fewer than it had had last week. And one wonders if those figures are real, because in a place like India, where this Modi guy likes to control things, he could say, well, we don't look good because we have high numbers. Don't report these numbers, and that'll be it. It's certainly odd that India suddenly has, very suddenly, has less than half the number of deaths that it had previously. So, yeah. And, of course, we know that in some of the red states, medical examiners or coroners or whatever they are out there are possibly not reporting COVID deaths as COVID deaths. And because, you know, you look at places and they have a higher death rate. Their death rate is up, but their COVID rate is low. It seems sort of fishy, especially since people would think that by suppressing the number of deaths from COVID-19, they're helping their pal Trump to, do something. Either win his next election, or maybe if they do that, he will be reinstated in August, which is what some of the crazy people are saying. And no, he is not being reinstated with any luck at all. With any luck at all, Donald Trump will never get to the White House again. Oh, I should pitch a little bit here. All right. This is WBAI New York, and we are listener-sponsored, non-commercial radio. This means that we do not run commercials, at least not regular commercials. You're not going to find us hawking Chevys or condos in Florida. And, oh, boy, all those people who are homeless now, or some of them, a lot of them, I think, dead because that building fell down. That's for another part of this whole thing here. We don't sell timeshares. We don't sell Chevys. What we do is we try to sell our programming to you. That's right. We're selling our programming to you, the listener. We ask you, the listener, to judge and say, is this the kind of thing you want on the radio? If it is, please send us some money to keep this kind of thing on the radio. How do you do that? How do you become a sponsor of this radio station? You do it by calling 1-212-209-2950. And when you get that call center, you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. A BAI buddy is the name we have for our sustaining membership. What it means is that you will be donating once a month to WBAI. And how this works is you call 1-212-209-2950. And when the person picks up, you say you want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. So what you do is you tell them you want to become a BAI buddy, and what you then tell them is how much you'd like to donate every month. You can donate $5 a month or $10 a month, $15 a month or $20 a month, and you'll be helping WBAI quite a bit by doing that. And you also tell them what day of the month you want to be charged, and on that day, they will charge your credit card or your debit card. That way, you don't have a charge coming up at an inconvenient time of the month. If you really always want to get charged on the 17th of the month, you say, I want to be charged on the 17th of the month, every month. Of course, I think that probably they do it the next day or something, if that's a Sunday. I'm not sure how these things work. But anyway, 1-212-209-2950 is a number to call. And if you call that number and you say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, you'll be helping us out a lot. You'll be helping to show management that we do have listeners, and you'll also be helping BAI to stay on the air. The general manager has said that WBAI costs $120,000 a month to run, and we have a very hard time with that. In fact, we tend to run a deficit every month, so, oh boy, that's a problem. We can get out of that. We can stop running a deficit if you will call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book. And so you can do that and become a BAI buddy. And if you do that, and if we get enough of you to do that, and we are no longer running deficits, which could happen, we're not that far from it, then we will have fewer annoying people in Pacifica trying to do things that I'm not allowed to talk about yet that will harm WBAI. Yeah, I can't talk about that right now, but when we come back from our short hiatus in 2 weeks, we'll be able to talk about exactly what the hell I'm talking about or not talking about. 1-212-209-2950. Please give us a call at that number. Give us a call at that number right now, and we will be able to have some folks in here pledging to make us continue. That's the whole idea. We're trying to continue here. We need money. There's no way around it. Again, $120,000 a month. We've got to pay for the antenna site. We've got to pay for electricity. We use a huge amount of electricity. And because we use so much, we're charged a special rate by Con Edison. Isn't that nice? And so we have to use all of this electricity. And, of course, it's summertime, and all the summertime electricity rates are higher. So we're going to be charged even more over the summertime here. 1-212-209-2950. Please help us to pay our electric bill. We need that. And again, you call 1-212-209-2950 and say, I want to become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, and tell them if you want to pledge $5 a month or $10 a month or $15 a month or $20 a month, and tell them what day of the month you want to be charged for that. That'll be great. That'll be fine. That'll help us out. That'll help keep WBAI on the air and help keep Back of the Book on WBAI. Now, there's something else that's going to happen, which I can sort of talk about right now. There are elections for the local station board coming up. And if you are a member of WBAI, you can vote in that election. In fact, if you're a member of BAI, you can run in that election. Yeah, and you, again, you call the same number, 1-212-209-2950, and you say, hey, I want to donate a one-time donation. And if you donate $25 or more, then you're going to be able to vote in the election. But you got to do that by June 30th. Yeah, there's a record date. June 30th is the record date. That's Wednesday. That's this coming Wednesday. So if you could become a donor and do $25 or more by Wednesday, right now would be best, you will be able to vote in this year's elections. And these are very important elections. There are people who would like to give WBAI away to a cable access outfit in Manhattan. And so that would be bad news, because a lot of the programming you like would disappear. And yeah, I'm pretty sure we'd disappear, and a lot of other stuff would disappear. But some people say, yeah, that's the solution. Give it away to this other entity that doesn't do radio, and give it away to them, and then they can pay $120,000 a month, and the rest of Pacifica won't have to. All right, so that's it. Please either call 1-212-209-2950 and become a BAI buddy in the name of Back of the Book, or call 1-212-209-2950 and say you want to make a donation so you can vote in this upcoming election, or you could even run in this upcoming election. Who knows? And right about now, I think it's time for us to do a station break. This is WBAI New York, 99.5 FM, broadcasting from a transmitter and antenna atop 4 Times Square, going through a new studio somewhere in downtown Brooklyn, and originating in our living room somewhere else in Brooklyn. The program is Back of the Book, My name is R. Paul Martin. She is Radio's Pickles of the North. And you can find out more by going up to my website at glib.com, glib.com. You can also go to the official website of this radio station at wbai.org. Well, some people may wonder about the intro, the cold opening on this program. And why is this all freaking fag revolutionary radio? Well, where did that phrase come from? It came, I am told, from the Chicago 7 trial, when prosecutors referred to the Chicago 7 as a bunch of freaking fag revolutionaries. And I wasn't around for that. I was off in the Republic of Vietnam having a very bad time. And so I hadn't heard that. But I did get involved with the gay liberation movement in March 1970. I joined the Gay Activists Alliance. And one of the things we heard about was that phrase that was used by the prosecutors at the Chicago 7 trial. And so a number of we ancient old gay liberation people picked up on that. It says, yes, we are freaking fag revolutionaries. Bleep you. And so that's what informs the cold opening of every one of these annual Pride / Christopher Street Liberation Day programs that we do. And yes, we've been doing these since 1986. It's Friday for us. If you're listening to this on broadcast, you are getting this on Saturday morning. And Sunday is the annual day when we celebrate the Stonewall riots, and there were riots. And so, yeah, so that's what happens here. We're gonna talk about a few things and what was going on 50 years ago. And yeah, I could talk about 51 years ago, the first march. I sort of did that a bit last year. I've done it at other times. But 50 years ago, 1971, we were preparing for the second Christopher Street Liberation Day march and rally, and all sorts of things were happening, and we were, you know, we knew we were going to do it that time, and the group that put it together had changed its name from the Christopher Street Liberation Day Umbrella Committee to the Christopher Street Liberation Day Committee. So all sorts of stuff is going on. We're getting prepared for it. And in fact, some bars were being nicer to gay activists than they had been. Gay activists had been doing things like saying, hey, we got a report that this bar isn't letting black people in. And we would pick at a bar. So some of the bar owners were not pleased with the Gay Activists Alliance. And so one bar, however, decided it was going to sort of make peace. And you got to go in there for free. Now, this may sound strange that you have to go in, you have to pay to get in, a cover charge, so to speak. Usually you get cover charge when there's entertainment and singing and a band and all of that. Cover charges were common years ago, and probably some places still have cover charges for like nightclubs and things. But an ordinary bar, you can walk into a bar and then you're supposed to buy booze. Well, for this one bar called The Exile, and yes, we can guess who owned it. Back in those days, just about all, maybe completely all, gay bars were owned by the Mafia. We know that. The Stonewall was owned by the Mafia, because Ed Murphy even said, yeah, it was owned by the Mafia, and he worked there. He worked for the Mafia, and he admitted it. And, you know, from Ed Murphy, we know a lot of what happened at the Stonewall. And we also know who was around in those days at the Stonewall, because some people later on tried to make believe they were there when they weren't. But when we had Ed Murphy around, he knew he was there. He was the bouncer. He worked there. Anyway, so this one bar, yeah, it was going to be a mafia bar, called The Exile, said, if you're a member of GAA, just show your GAA membership card at the door and you get in for free. I don't remember what the charge was, you know, how much you had to pay if you didn't have a GAA membership card. But yeah, you know, we'll let you in. And so, oh yes, a relevant part of this. I don't drink, really. And I, in those days, I didn't drink. Well, in those days, I didn't drink at all. These days, I don't drink at all. There was a very short time, about a quarter of a century ago, 20, 25 years ago. Oh, more than 20. Yeah, 25 years ago. When I would have a little drink now and again, not much. I would drink mostly with Pickles of the North, and we didn't, you know, pickles gets loaded on half a can of beer. So these weren't exactly bacchanals. And before that, I had spent about 4 months of my life while in the Republic of Vietnam getting plastered a whole lot. But that was 4 months. I was 21 years old, and it's part of the Army culture to get drunk a whole lot. And so anyway, I didn't go in there for the booze. I went in there because it was a backroom bar. And I've talked about the trucks and how on July 30th, 1970, I was brought down to the trucks, which was an open-air orgy at the time. And, oh boy, that was fun. You could have sex with people, and it didn't have a whole lot of folderol. And, yeah, let's have sex with multiple strangers. Whoopee! Anyway, that's what happened at the Exile. It was called a backroom bar. It was actually the front room. It was the room on the front of the building, and they covered up the windows with paper or something. But, you know, it was the front room. Anyway, so you would go in. It was a pretty big back room, too. I've been in other back room bars, and the back room was tiny. In any event, so I would go there and have fun. And, you could go there multiple times. You could go there every day of the week if you liked and make many new friends. And that's where I once got to watch the police getting paid off because they pulled a raid. They pulled a raid, and I'm in the back room and engaged in activities. And all of a sudden, the lights go on because they keep the lights out, you know. The lighting in that room was the street lamp that filtered through the paper over the windows. So it's a little bit dark in there, but that's romantic. Anyway, so all of a sudden, the lights go on. Oh, what is this? And so I go charging out of the back room, also called an orgy room, and out in front, in the front part of the bar, there is a guy standing there, two guys standing there, and they're talking to another guy, and I just go up there, and I got a light switch, and I bang, I hit it, and I turn the lights back off. So the tall guy reaches into his pocket, and he pulls out a badge. And he's the police. And then he flicks the lights back on again. And he continues talking with the other guy, who turns out to be the at least the manager. He's probably not the owner. The owner is some guy in the mafia. This guy's the manager of the bar. And they're talking. And eventually they say, okay, everybody's got to leave now. And we leave. And so I'm disgruntled. And, you know, I didn't have enough sex yet, and I was going to have more. But, geez, now I can't. So I'm PO'd. And so I watch what's going on, and I see the cop. There are two cops, actually, and the manager, and another guy who's with the manager. And they walk off to where there are cars parked out there. Now, they're out there, and maybe a piece of the High Line was out there. I'm not sure of that. But anyway, it was dark, and there were cars parked. And there were cars parked not along the sidewalk, but going out. So I think there was a something overhead. And there I got to watch the cop arguing with the manager, and the manager reach into his pocket and pull something out, and the other guy reach into his pocket and pull something out and give it to the manager, and they take it and they give it to the police officer. And yeah, I was witnessing a bribe. So probably whatever the receipts were for the night, they handed to the cop. And I said, well, that was interesting. So we'd had things going on and promotions going on and all of this. And we also had a bill. No, not a bill you have to pay. A bill in the New York City Council. It was Intro 475. It was the world's first gay civil rights bill. That's what it was called then. We didn't have a lot of, you know, LGBT plus infinity stuff. It was gay, and gay was the all-inclusive term in those days. It also meant lesbians, but people insisted they wanted to break things up and make an alphabet soup out of the movement. Anyway, so we were trying to get a hearing on Intro 475. And so what we did was I was a member of the Gay Activists Alliance. And, oh boy, 50 years ago, things were about to change for me a great deal. I didn't know it yet, but it was about to change. I mean, I was considered a veteran, an ancient gay activist, because I'd been in the Gay Activists Alliance for 15 months, and I'd stayed there. Most of the time, people would come, look around, stay a week or two, and leave. And I was active. I'd been to a lot of demonstrations and zap actions. Zap actions were things where we'd go into the office and disrupt it and all of this kind of stuff. In fact, there's a video up online from Randy Wicker, which shows one of our actions where we were zapping the folks who do marriages. I guess we were in the municipal building. I forget. It's been 50 years. And so in that, you can see me in there if you look very closely, but you won't recognize me because mostly what you'll see is the back of my head with my very long hair. Anyway, so we've been doing zaps and things. So I was this longtime activist. You know, 15 months is a long time at that point. And I've been doing all sorts of things. And earlier in June of 1971, my mother came to me and asked if this was mine, something she had in her hand. And she had found a gay power button still pinned to my shirt. Oh, I said, yeah, that's mine. And I took it back. And I didn't explain it. She was not pleased. And so things were happening already. And we at GAA were interested in pushing Intro 475. It had to have hearings before it could be voted on. And we had sponsors, and we were hoping to really get this to work because we hadn't realized it was going to take like 16 years to get this to happen. So we were optimistic we were pushing for it. And the guy in charge of the New York City Council at the time was named Thomas Cute. And Tom Cute was the head of things, and he was a real political manipulator. Oh, boy, you know, the 1930s movies who show these political manipulators, he was that. Tom Cute was that. He had his finger in things, and what he said went. And if he didn't want something to come up for a hearing, it didn't come up for a hearing. And we wanted it to come up for a hearing, and he did not. He was Catholic. In fact, he was the uncle of one of my teachers in Catholic high school. And so the situation was Thomas Cute did not want a vote on the bill, and so therefore he didn't want a hearing on the bill since you had to have the hearing before the vote. And we in GAA, we wanted the hearing. That was the next thing we had to do, and then we had to deal with a vote. And so we've been waiting for months. We've been arguing with people, lobbying, and we had some support, and he wouldn't do it. So we were going to meet with him. Now, I'm not sure exactly how this meeting got set up, but there was a meeting that was supposed to happen in City Hall with Thomas Cute, and I think a part of the deal was a couple of our people from GAA were going to meet with him, and probably the rest of us were going to stand around and make noise. And so, but we were all supposed to go into City Hall and somehow meet with Thomas Cute. Well, I think he had agreed to the meeting, but turns out he didn't feel like it, and he didn't tell us ahead of time. And he may have actually not been in City Hall at that time. We're not sure. We got to City Hall, and at the entry, we go up the steps, and at the entry to City Hall, we're refused entry. No, you can't come in. And so we're saying, no, we got to be allowed. We're arguing. Other people were allowed to go in and out of City Hall. We're standing there, and these aren't city council members or people who work there. These are people who are going there to, like, lobby or whatever, and they're going in and out, and were being prevented. And, well, voices were raised. And we had people like Marty Robinson and Jim Owls and Arthur Evans and me and various other people. So we're all arguing there. All of a sudden, a crowd of cops comes charging out of the front doors of City Hall. And they push us down, and we're getting pushed down the steps. And, you know, we're trying to go back up, and they push us down. And then more cops come because, you know, there aren't enough cops to stop us. And so we're going up. We're being nonviolent. And we're walking up the steps of City Hall, and they're pushing us back. And this went on for a bit. And then more cops come flooding in from around the sides of City Hall, and we get surrounded. And so they're pushing us, and they said, it's a frozen zone. And what they did was they immediately grabbed Jim Owls and Marty Robinson and the other people who looked to be the leaders. And they grabbed them, and they got into City Hall, all right. They were dragged into City Hall, the doors shut. And meanwhile, the other cops are shoving us all down the steps, and we're going back up. We're getting to the point of where more and more cops are there, and they can really shove us. You know, they form a wall, and they shove you. And there's this little parking lot in front of City Hall. At least it was there then. I don't know if they still have the parking lot now. We're getting shoved there, and they're shoving us, and we're shoved between the cars, and people are getting hit. And all of this, GAA had its own videotape. I'm there, and I'm walking up to, I have this long hair, and I walk, and I get shoved back, and I walk up between the cars, and yah, rah, rah, and the cop shoves me back. A curious thing people wanted to know is, what is that book you have in your hand? And it was Paul Morphy's Games of Chess. Paul Morphy was a big chess player in the late 1850s in America. So I'm there with my chess book. I had handed it off to somebody else the night before. While I went home with somebody the next day, we were forming up for the action. I went to him and said, Hernan, do you have my book? He always carried a bag. And he reached into his bag, pulled out my book, and I had it. So I'm going to this little riot. It was a police riot. They started hitting people with nightsticks. And there's this video of me getting shoved back the GAA had. I was there for the arrest of Arthur Evans. He was next to me, and the cops are, you know, shoving people back, and Arthur's going, rah, rah, and the cops start, I guess they got word, start arresting them. And so the cop reaches for me, and I go, rawr! I'm in a bad mood, and I'm not getting arrested, and I resisted arrest. And so this was this youngish cop, and even though I'm tiny, I'm kind of capable of expressing anger, and the cop looks at me in the way I'm behaving. And again, I am a year and a half out of Vietnam, so I'm still full of PTSD, and there's no telling how I'm going to act from one minute to the next anyway. So the cop, he has his hand out, and I move away, and his hand stays there as if to grab me. And then he just moves over a couple of feet and grabs Arthur Evans. And that's how Arthur Evans got arrested, and I didn't. And so that was my first time of successfully resisting arrest. Anyway, so we're there, and all this stuff is going on, and they bring in the mounted police, horse cops, and they start clearing us around, and they run by, and they do little tactics, like they hit you with a stick from the top of the horse, and one of the things they do is they reach down, and they grab you by the shirt, and they lean over, and they lift, and the horse gallops, and then they let you go, and you're thrown on the ground at the speed the horse is running at. Most of the reporters, we were told later, in City Hall, you know, there's a press room. Most of the reporters were just laughing about all of this. They didn't care. And we were later told, you know, they were there and they were laughing. And even though there was a full-fledged police riot with people being beaten up and arrested and the mounted police galloping back and forth and tossing people, they didn't care about that. Also, it was gay. Well, anybody who wanted to come out wasn't going to come out because the hell with them. I don't want to have a story like that. However, there was an exception. The exception was a guy named Milton Lewis, and he was with Channel 7 Eyewitness News, which was still a fairly new franchise in New York in 1971, but still very successful. Milton Lewis was their City Hall reporter. He was not a friend of gay people. He decided to come out and cover the story. So he comes out, And, you know, he's going to call us names later on in the air and all of that. I think the idea was, you know, we were supposed to be limp-wristed and funny-looking. So he comes out. It's a full-fledged riot. It ain't that funny-looking. But he comes out, and the horses are galloping and all of this. So Milton Lewis is out there, and he's out there with his cameraman. And we're out there. And interesting thing, Milton Lewis is not a tall guy. Milton Lewis is very short. I am very short. And a guy named Bobby Rooker was very short. He was actually like an inch or two taller than I, but he was still very short. And so Milton Lewis is our size. Milton Lewis has to have a cameraman. TV cameramen are almost always tall, so they can get shots above crowds. Milton Lewis had the extremely rare short cameraman. So he's out there, and there are these horses. What you see on the news that night, it's a fight. There are cops getting hit. We're getting hit. The horses are moving us. And so what happens is taller people are just blocked out. But Bobby Rooker and I, when the horses' heads come next to each other, we can just duck down very little. And there's Milton Lewis and his cameraman. Milton Lewis, because we're all short, has a very good view of us. And it's framed by these moving horses in a riot. That's actuality. He's not going to throw this away. He says, what are you here for? We're here because we're supposed to meet with Tom Cute. And we're supposed to, we're talking about the gay rights bill, intro 475. And we throw a few slogans in and all of this. And eventually, the police horses are able to push us away. And the police tell Milton Lewis, okay, Milton, you got enough. Get the hell away from here. We don't want pictures of bloodshed from us. We got shoved around. And that night I got on TV. My parents watched Eyewitness News every night. And my parents saw it and they were not pleased. And it was dramatic. It wasn't like, oh, and here is this sedate homosexual. It was freaking fag revolutionaries, and it's a riot, and they're fighting, and the police are fighting them, and they're getting... I am very clearly on there. No denying it's me, and I'm speaking, and you can hear my voice. You can really see it's me. There's no doubt about it. Other relatives, it turned out, I found out decades later, had seen it too and said, oh, our relative is gay. It goes on there, and I'm watching it at somebody else's house, and oh, look at that. And, you know, there were some anti-gay remarks, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been. And it gave us publicity. It gave publicity to Intro 475. At the end, Roger Grimsby, who was the main anchor, says, if I were cute, I wouldn't show up either. So I get home after a while and my parents are displeased. And what they did was they left the country. They went to Canada. Suddenly, they're on a vacation, and they didn't tell me anywhere. They just left. So my parents left, and they came back in the middle of July, and things were not so good in the house after that because they were very displeased. While I was away, I figured, yeah, I'd better move more quickly on getting a job, which I'd been trying to do, but I've been having a really hard time, partly because they said, what were you doing for this period of time while I was in the Army and I was in Vietnam? Nobody's going to give you a job. And that was really true. So I was trying to get a job, and I figured, well, now they're going to really kick me out of here. I better ratchet up getting a job. So I got a haircut, and things were different after that. I got essentially disowned by my parents, and I was told to leave. I didn't leave right away. I couldn't. I had nowhere to go. I would have been homeless on the street. And eventually I got a crummy job. Then I met my eventual lover, and I did leave, but it was quite a while between June 25th, 1971, and when I finally left completely from my parents' house. It was a mutual thing. I was about to tell them, okay, I'm leaving. Before I could say that, they said, we're moving. And they weren't going to tell me where. So you talk to the landlord about staying here. We're going. It was like a mutual time for everybody to leave. That was a big deal in my life. Being outed on TV like that changed my life with my parents and obviously with my relatives, although they never said anything because I never saw my relatives again for about 30, 40 years after that. So there was that. There's a little tiny bit of gay history. Gay liberation history. And that's what we did. And eventually we did get hearings. And eventually Intro 475 was voted on and voted down. And as I said, it took like 16 years to get the damn thing passed. And, of course, we have a tradition here on Back of the Book. And on this program, we dedicate the following music to everybody.
There are places I remember all my life, though some have changed, some forever, not for better. Some have gone and some remain. All these places have their moments. With lovers and friends, I still can recall.
Yes, we remember. We remember many, many people. There's Mr. Outro Music. Okay, that's been it for Back of the Book for this week. We will not be here next week. We will be here 2 weeks from now. Coming up next is
a Gary Knowles special.
And at 7 o'clock, Jim Freund with his program, Hour of the Wolf, all about science fiction stuff. Thanks a hell of a lot for listening. Go on out, enjoy all the stuff. There's no real march this year. And there is going to be that counter march again this year, so good luck to them with that. But you can start going out and enjoying this summertime. And above all, remember what that remembering when he was young and a gay activist and it was still new Dormouse said.
Winding your way down a Baker Street, lighting your
The fight for LGBTQ plus rights across our country has come a long way since the Stonewall Uprising 52 years ago, but 2021 could soon become the worst year for anti-LGBTQ plus legislation. I'm Jeff Simmons, and this Sunday morning, join me for a 3-hour special here on WBAI New York when we explore the successes and the setbacks on the road to full equality. And I'll take your calls all morning at 212-209-2877. More than a half century after Stonewall, how do we turn pain into progress? And where do we draw the battle lines? Tune in this Sunday starting at 8 a.m. and only on WBAI New York.
And I won't break, and I won't bend, but someday soon we'll see.
Nomination phase of WBAI's 2021 local station board elections is underway. And if you are a WBAI member, you can nominate candidates or become a candidate yourself. Go online at elections.pacifica.org to register either as a candidate or to nominate candidates. As a nominator, once approved, you will be able to log in and check the boxes next to the candidates you'd like to see on your local station board. Each potential candidate will need at least 15 nominations in order to be on the ballot this October. Members without internet access can leave a voicemail with their name, address, phone number, and the names of any candidates you'd like to nominate at 510-993-0320. For more information, visit elections.pacifica.org.
Hey, this is Michael, a BAI buddy from Brooklyn. WBAI, oh, WBAI, you're listening to WBAI, 99.5 FM, WBAI.org on the web. Listen and learn. And become a BAI buddy.